number 8. Nothing else matters when you've lost the one thing you care about more than anything else in the whole world. Mom? I barged into the dining room where Mom and Dad seemed to be having a serious talk. I could tell it was serious because Dad was sitting down with his head in his hands saying $6,000, while Mom was standing over him saying everything was going to be all right. Not now, Allie, Mom said. Your father and I are talking. But Mom, I yelled, Musi's gone.
Allie, Dad said to his lap, I have a really bad headache and you are not making it any better with all that yelling.
But he's gone. I couldn't believe they weren't seeing how serious the situation was. I ran around the dining room table. I can't find him anywhere. I think he must have gotten outside. Maybe Mr. Johnson or some of his roofing guys let him out. Didn't you tell them the rule?
Of course we did, Mom said. Calm down, Allie. I'm sure Musi is around here somewhere.
He isn't, I cried. I've looked everywhere. He has to have gotten outside.
Well, Dad said, lifting his head from his hands, go outside and look for him then.
I couldn't understand how they could be so calm when the life of my cat could possibly be at stake. Didn't they know the things that could happen to a cat who had gotten outside for the first time? He could get confused and wander into some other neighborhood and never find his way home again.
He could crawl into the engine of someone's parked car, and then when the person got in and started the engine to drive away, the cat could get sucked up inside the motor.
Or he could climb a tree and accidentally go too far and get stuck in the upper branches and get scared and not be able to crawl down again, then slowly starve to death.
Or someone could be walking along and see him sitting on the sidewalk and think, what a beautiful cat, because of course Musi is the most beautiful cat in the whole world, and just decide to pick him up and take him home to live with them, not even caring that he has a microchip embedded in his neck that says he belongs to me, Allie Finkel.
And Musi, because he is very sweet and trusting, and unlike the children of the early settlers and myself, has never known hardship, would never scratch or bite someone who picked him up from the sidewalk.
Don't you understand? I yelled. By now I was crying. We have to call the police.
We are not calling the police, Mom said, because you can't find your cat, Allie. What's the matter with you?
Everything's horrible, I cried.
Oh, Dad said. Is A-Plus charging you $6,000 to reshingle your roof, too?
Thomas, Mom said, giving Dad a disapproving look.
What's going on? Mark asked. I guess he'd heard all the yelling and come inside to find out what was going on. What's wrong with Allie?
Nothing's wrong with Allie. Mom walked over to wipe off some of my tears with the bottom of her shirt. She can't find her cat.
Want me to help look for him? Mark asked. I'm exceptional at finding things. When the newts in my class escaped from their terrarium when Casey Girardi forgot to put the lid back on when he cleaned it, I'm the one who found them in the heating duct.
Musi's not a newt, I yelled at him.
Well, when Musi went missing last time, he said, it was my idea to look in the dryer.
I already looked in the dryer, I said. I buried my face in Mom's soft stomach. Her mom smell was comforting, though not enough to calm me down completely. He isn't in the dryer.
It's amazing how quickly life can go from being just a little bit bad to a total disaster. Like in the blink of an eye. This was probably how the children of the early settlers felt. Like when bugs would get into the seed corn and they would think, oh, well, at least there's sugar beets. Then a frost would kill all the sugar beets. Or when you think you have enough money to buy a cell phone, your parents could make some new rule like, oh, no, you can't have a cell phone until you're in the sixth grade, even if you buy it with your own money. Or you could have the best teacher in the world, and some man you don't even know could come along and steal her away,
proving none of us has any idea how truly awful things can get.
That's what I was telling myself as I was staggering around the front yard in the dark a few hours later, my eyes all red-rimmed with tears going, Musi, Musi, here, kitty, kitty, in a voice that was hoarse from having called the same thing over and over again for so long and so loud that Erica and her big brother John and even her sister Missy had heard me and come out of their house next door to help me look. That's what we were all doing when Uncle Jay drove up.
Hi, Allie,
he said, getting out of the driver's side of his beat-up car that has a light-up Pizza Express sign screwed to the roof. His girlfriend, Harmony, who has long, shiny black hair, got out of the passenger side. They were both carrying pizza boxes. "Heard the Finkel family is having kind of a tough week," Harmony said, smiling at me. I had no idea what she was talking about. Nothing bad had happened to the rest of my family, except that my parents had to buy a new roof because the old one leaked. Who even cared about that? I was the one who was having a tough week. On top of everything else that had gone wrong, like with the cell phone and the field trip to stupid Honeypot Prairie and Mary Kay and my wonderful teacher getting stolen away by some stranger, which I barely even cared about anymore, my cat was missing. A feline life was at stake. And my family didn't even care. Except that I supposed losing my cat was going to make Mom and Dad think I was even less responsible now. Like it was my fault the roofing men hadn't obeyed the rule and left the door open. I knew there was something wrong with that Mr. Johnson. Anyone who would fall for Kevin's cute face is not to be trusted. "Come on, Allie, cheer up," Uncle Jay said. "I'm sure Musy's just gone on a walkabout." Erica and her brother and sister had waved goodnight to me from the yard, wishing me luck. I barely noticed. I was busy following Uncle Jay and Harmony up onto the front porch. "What's a walkabout?" I asked.
"It's when someone feels the need to break away from the daily grind," Uncle Jay said, "in the hope of eventually finding a spiritual path, so he takes off for a while to have some new adventures."
Tears filled my eyes again. "But I don't want Musy to take off for a while to have some new adventures," I said with a wail.
"Oh, Ellie," Harmony said, wrapping an arm around my shoulders. "I'm sure Musy's fine. Jay didn't mean it like that."
"Yes, I did," Uncle Jay said. "That's the thing with a walkabout, Ellie. Fighting it doesn't do anybody any good."
I stared at Uncle Jay like he was crazy. So did Harmony.
"That's nuts," I cried. "Musy's not seeking his spiritual path. He's a cat."
"Well," Uncle Jay said, "I'm just saying, walkabouts happen. It's like one of your rules. You just have to accept it."
I reached up to dry my eyes with the sleeve of my windbreaker.
"It is not a rule. I'm not just going to accept that Musy has gone on a walkabout," I said, my hoarse voice breaking. "I'm going to stay out here all night calling for him if I have to. And if he doesn't come home tonight, I'm going to make flyers tomorrow with a picture of him and a description and hang them all over the neighborhood asking for people's help looking for him. And I'm going to call the animal shelter every single day to see if anyone has brought him in. And I'm going to make Mom hold up one of the flyers on her TV show, even if it is only on a local station. And I'm never going to stop looking for him, ever."
"Hey, Allie!"
The glass storm door opened, and Mark stood there, panting like he'd just run very fast from some faraway place.
"What?" I asked him, still crying. "Mark, I'm having a very important conversation right now."
"Kevin and I found Musy," he said.
My heart heaved.
"Where?"
"You'll never believe it," he said. "Follow me."
He started thumping up the stairs. I thumped after him, my pulse racing almost as fast as my feet. "You'll never believe it." What did that mean? Was Musy all right? Did this mean he hadn't gone on a walkabout? If Musy was all right, I told myself as I followed Mark, I would do everything within my power to become a more responsible person. I would try to accept the fact that we were going to Honeypot Prairie on our field trip tomorrow and not somewhere good like the Children's Museum, and I would stop complaining about that in my head. I would try to accept the fact that Mrs. Hunter might not be willing to switch from teaching fourth grade to fifth grade just for me, and that she might want to marry someone someday and move away. If Musy was all right, I would not only become more responsible about these things, but I would stop complaining about my parents refusing to let me have a cell phone or even buy one with my own money. I wouldn't even complain anymore, in my head, about stupid Mary Kay Shiner. Who cares about a cell phone or riding on a bus with my ex-best friend anyway? Not me. None of those things mattered. All that matters are the people and pets you love. That was probably the number one rule of all. I just had to remember that. Mark swerved around the corner at the top of the stairs, disappearing into his bedroom. I followed him, then skidded to a stop.